Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 p.m. I want to thank all that who have listened and support these broadcasts in helping defray financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us here at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now, one way that we're able to help pay the cost of radio is by making books available that we've written, and you can find them on the website, and the order form is there. And what we do is when you buy a book, we count that as an offering or a support to the ministry, so no tax on the books that way. And I have a brand new book out called One New Man, One Holy Nation. I think you'll find it very, very encouraging and strengthening. It's a very holistic approach to Scripture, looking at the Word of God and the way God writes His Word. And it brings together some very confusing areas that churches and people are divided over in their understanding. But if we take the Bible holistically and not try to set one scripture against another, we'll find that the Bible gives us depth of understanding. And so any of those books are available. They're on our website. And all you have to do is fill out the order form and order them, and we'll get the book off to you. We thank you very much. Now let's pray and get back into today's lesson. Developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the whole theme we're working around. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints from the marrow. It's the discerner in the thoughts of our heart. We thank you for that, Father, that your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. Help us as we are studying the Word of God here on the program today. Lord, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We are not trying to delve into these things in our own intellect or our own understanding. We need the understanding that you provide. And so we thank you for that, Lord, as we look today at a little further into James chapter 1. And verse 19, where we're encouraged by the writer, by James, to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. And so as we delve into this, listen carefully, and I know it'll be a help to you. So James said in James 1:19, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Did they know? James seemed to think they did. He lists three things that he felt they already knew. First is to listen carefully. The Word of God, as I prayed, is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The word quick means alive. In other words, be alive and pay attention to what the Word of God is saying. Secondly, be slow to speak. I learned a long time ago I should try to be the last one to speak in any discussion if I want my point to stick. So listen carefully to what others are saying and don't just say the first thing that comes to your mind. Thirdly, be slow to get angry. In communication, the opportunity for anger is lurking at the door. By keeping your cool, we keep the lines of communication open. Over the course of time, we are able to resolve volatile issues. And the Word of God can be one of those areas that cause people to get angry at one another. It shouldn't be that way, but that's our human nature. And that's why James is giving us this warning here and in reminding us to be quick to hear and slow to anger, slow to speak and slow to anger. Amen? So we need to be prayerful people and ask God to help guide us in our responses to people. Now, I have found that many of God's people do not know these principles, or at least they do not practice them. Many times we are preparing our response rather than listening carefully to what another is saying. I cannot tell you how many times in preaching or teaching someone heard me say something very different than what the CD revealed I actually said. Boy, that dates me, doesn't it, the CD? Yeah, my. And today it would maybe be your recording instrument, your cell phone. What I actually said. This is why I have found it important to solicit questions and comments after speaking to make sure others heard me clearly. If you are not sure what someone said or meant in a statement, it is healthy to ask the person to repeat themselves or carefully what they said or meant, or clarify what they said or meant. That's why we ask you to drop us a line. If there's anything we say that's confusing or difficult, just mention it to us. We'll go back in the notes and we'll look at how we said it and try to be careful to clarify it. And we want you to hear with understanding. We want you to be able to digest the Word of God so that it's a practical application in your everyday life. Now, Paul instructs us to be angry, yet not to sin in Ephesians 4:26. James tells us to be slow to anger. Aren't you glad for these two scriptures? Jesus became angry with the religious leaders of his day. Anger is an emotion that God put in us. Why? We are created in the image of God, and throughout the scripture we read of God's anger towards sin. Anger is an emotion that can produce the right results when used correctly, but can also be devastating and kill when out of control or done hastily. God's anger, in most cases, was not about him, but it was about what was happening to others as a result of sin. That's very important to understand. The anger of the Lord is a righteous indignation. It's because of what sin does to other people. It's because of the results that it has in tearing apart a life. Daily commit to the Holy Spirit, your hearing, your mouth, your emotions. Lord, help me to hear more than the words spoken. God, help me to respond thoughtfully and allow my emotions to be kept under control, the control of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that is our prayer, and I encourage you, beloved, make that your daily prayer. That last paragraph I just said, daily commit to the Holy Spirit, your hearing, your mouth, your emotions. Lord, help me to hear more than than the words spoken. Lord, help me to respond thoughtfully and allow my emotions to be kept under control, the control of your Holy Spirit. Wow, that is sound counsel, beloved. Amen. Well, we're going to continue on. Peter has some things to say also. He says, live fearfully during your time here on earth. 1 Peter 1:17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. This is a powerful statement and reveals why we always need the helper, the Holy Spirit. It is a serious thing to call God our Father. Receiving salvation in and of itself is an awesome thought, but it is even more awesome to realize that God has given us power to be his children. The implications are more than our infinite minds can take in. He is no respecter of persons. To think that he made me alive in his Son through the power of his Holy Spirit causes me to take these things seriously. As a child of God, I have the personal responsibility to live and conduct myself in a manner that is fitting to the name I carry. As my children were growing up, they had to give account to their mother and me. They had to answer directly to us about doing their chores, their schoolwork, their attitudes towards their siblings. They were our children, carrying our name, and we treated them the same without partiality. We wanted them to understand that there were consequences for yielding to the sin nature, for disobedience, and for neglecting their responsibilities. Our Heavenly Father is the same toward us. The word fear, as used here, does not mean to be afraid in the way one might fear evil. The word is a beautiful word, which carries the meaning of reverence and awesome respect. It is a respect that has the knowledge of one day standing before him and giving him an account. The Holy Spirit wants to remind us that as his children, we have all the blessings and benefits of heaven. We also have the responsibilities that are expected of a son and daughter of God. Our goal is not to appease God so we can make it to heaven. Jesus took care of that on the cross as he laid down his life for each of us. We have an increasing desire to please the Father God, because we love him for what he has done for us, because he loved us first. We also fear him as the God of all creation. This is a healthy attitude and one that will enable us to conduct ourselves in the fear of God. Today, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any areas that are not submitted to your Father in heaven and fill you with godly fear all the days of your life here on earth. That is a good, solid prayer, beloved. So, Lord, we pray that right now. Holy Spirit, reveal any areas in our lives that are not submitted to you, Father, and fill us with godly fear all the days of our life here on earth. I pray that for the listening audience. I pray that for my life. I pray that for my family. I pray that for my friends, my relationships in the Lord. And so we just are thankful, God, that you give us these instructions by your word. And we thank you for all that Peter gives us. We're going to look at more, beloved, today, a little bit more of what Peter has to say. He says, put aside the corruptness of your human nature and long for God's pure word. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. The scripture reveals that the human nature with its corruptness does not just disappear. When we are saved. All right, let's try this again now that I cleared my throat. Sorry about that. Peter is telling us, putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of God. And the scripture reveals that the human nature with its corruptness does not just disappear when we are saved. Peter says to put aside these evil behaviors. The five areas that Peter named are summed up in the word wickedness. put aside all wickedness and become like newly born infants. What does a newborn want? Pure milk. As we begin our walk in Christ, the Holy Spirit begins to create an appetite for pure milk of God's Word. We must nurture that desire. This is our first step of cooperation with the Holy Spirit. We begin to think, I need to read the Scriptures. We choose to put aside other things and make room for the reading of His Word so we may begin to learn God's will for our lives. Not only reading it, but meditating on it and chewing it like a, you know, like chewing the cud that an animal does. And it goes down and comes back up again. We chew on it some more. And we need to be that kind of an individual with the Word of God. Peter relates this desire for God's pure Word to growing in our salvation. True salvation ought to be accompanied by desires for God's presence, the learning of His Word, and a life lived out in righteousness. This new desire for the Word of God is in contrast to the old desires of our flesh. I remember how I could hardly wait to get time to study God's Word. I had a hunger to know what it said and to be able to share with others what I had learned. I had a deep desire for others to experience what I had experienced through the Holy Scripture, through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures, and God's pure Word. I had been saved from my old life and ways. I recognized my growth in respect to my salvation. I began to recognize the kingdom of God in saving me. I also sensed a growth in my knowledge of what it meant to be a son of God. I began to experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I knew what I was entering. I knew that I was entering into His grace. Peter calls it tasting the goodness, the kindness of our Lord, 1 Peter 2:3. When we recognize His kindness, we cannot help choosing to put aside our human corruptness and longing for His pure Word. So ask the Holy Spirit to renew your hunger in His Word. And then as you approach the Holy Spirit, ask Him to renew your hunger in the Word of God. If you've been stagnant for a while, just press into Him, and you'll find that He will return that desire to read the Word, to spend time in the Scriptures. Sometimes I wake up and I must turn to the Bible. I must turn to the Scriptures, not out of a habit, but simply because of that hunger and that desire that's there. And so this is so very important as we consider what Peter's encouraging us with here in these Scriptures. And so ask the Holy Spirit on a daily basis to renew your hunger for His Word. Amen. And then Peter goes on and, let's see, how are we doing on time? I think we've got time. Peter goes on and he speaks about us as living stones. You are being built up as a spiritual house. Now look at this, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Oh, this is so important, and this is something that's been missed in many times in the church. We think it's all in the pastor. It's all in the person on the platform. No. God has called us to be living stones, a priesthood unto Him. In fact, that's the last chapter in my new book, The Priesthood of God. Every saint of God, every individual that's been born again is looked at by God as a priest, one who is responsible for the Word of God, one who is responsible for the things that the Word of God says, one who is responsible to share with others and to help others enter into a relationship with the Lord. So as living stones, we're being built up as a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5 tells us. And when we read Peter about a work of the Holy Spirit, we read in Peter about a work of the Holy Spirit. He is building a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. 1 Peter 2:4 speaks of Jesus as a living stone. Men rejected him, but in God's eyes, he is choice and precious. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would help us to see Jesus as the Father does. He is our Lord and Savior and friend, but he is also much more. He is the stone that is perfect. He is the cornerstone that is the foundation for the building which God is raising up. Remove him and the building collapses. Jesus cannot be a small part of one's life. He cannot just be the God of a Sunday morning. As the scripture says, in him we live and move and exist, Acts 17:28, and we have our being. He is called a stone, which represents something that does not move. In him there is no variableness, neither shifting, James 1:17 tells us. Oh my, these things are so important to be reminded of. Peter goes on to say, we too are living stones. He created us in Christ to be solid. Paul expresses it like this: therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Holy Spirit is building a spiritual house, a house that is alive and called to be a house of intercession. This is what Peter means when he says being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. As priests of God, we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What kind of spiritual sacrifices is the Holy Spirit creating in us? Peter, in his first letter, helps to provide the answer. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, 9-10. Wow! What glory he has placed upon us. What privilege the Spirit of God has called us into. Think of it. You're part of the chosen race in the earth, part of the royal priesthood, and part of a nation that is like no other nation ever. A Christian belongs to a people that are God's own possession. That's us. Rejoice, O saint of God. Be strong and courageous, and shout with a victory which is ours in Christ Jesus the Lord. And so these are areas that I'm covering in my new book, because One New Man, One Holy Nation is to understand, what did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to bring forth in the earth a redeemed community of people. From all the races, all the human races, he created for himself by the Spirit a race of people. If you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been taken out of the race that you were born into on a human level, and you have been placed in a new race with others that come from different races, that come from different backgrounds, but together in the Spirit, we are one new man, one holy nation, as Peter says. Oh, these things are worthy to be studied and sought out after. Well, we're out of time for today, and I hope this has been helpful to you. Again, drop us a line at our P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, 92195. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know what the broadcast means. Is it helping you? And is there anything we can help you with? And while you're at it, why don't you pick up a book and study these things more carefully? One New Man, One Holy Nation is our latest book that you can find on the website there in ordering books, and just fill out the application. And the book is $17, and I think it's $7 for shipping, something like that. And just fill out the form, and that'll be such a help to us. And I trust the book will be a real help to you. We love you. Thank you for allowing me to come into your wherever you're at listening to GOD Radio today. and we're just glad you're there. Father, in Jesus' name, as we close the broadcast, I just pray your blessing and your favor upon your people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will give us, let that power be released in us to walk out these things as you've instructed us through your apostles like James and Peter. We give ourselves to you. We are thankful for what you have accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation that leads to eternal life, but salvation right now as we walk through this life, that the Lord is an ever-present help in our time of need. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to help each one of us to just remember Jesus and be a blessing to others. And so we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, beloved, as I like to say at the end of the broadcast, be a blessing to others. Extend the kingdom of God by being a blessing to other people who needs in their life. Pray for people. If somebody you meet somebody along the way and they have a need, ask them what the need is and pray for them right there on the spot. Don't save it for another time. Pray right then and be a blessing. You will reap great rewards. All right. God bless you. Until next week, we'll be back again. Bye-bye.